2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 through 15. If I would title this, I would give it a title, Faithful Reminders of Truth. Let's read it first and then we'll go from there. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I just thank you again for this time here. I pray that you would open our eyes to your truth. I pray that you would convict, exhort, rebuke, encourage, and give what is needed to each one here today. I pray if there is anyone who has not yet believed the gospel, that you would draw them to yourself and show them the necessity and the urgency to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Pray that you'll bless this time, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. In remembrance of what things? What is Peter saying? I will remind you often. I'll remind you over and over of these things. Well, we just looked at it last week, what he had been saying to those that he was writing to the dispersion. That's what he says in 1 Peter, who he is writing to, those who were scattered abroad in many places. And in 2 Peter, it sounds like he's writing to the same people again. But I want you to remember what we had last week about what should the Christian do. This is what he is saying. I will put you in remembrance. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. About what things? Well, that we should add to our faith. We should not just stay stagnant in our faith. Oh, I believe in Jesus. That's all that I need. I don't care about growing. I don't care about the Bible. I don't care about being challenged about something that I think or that I believe. No. For the Christian, Peter says, add to your faith virtue, good works, a good reputation, virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Know more about God. Know more about Jesus. Know more about His Word. Add knowledge. Add to your knowledge temperance, self-control. Add to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you want to be reminded, or you haven't heard last week's message, or you want to listen to it again, we have it on the website. You can go and listen to it again. Thank you, David, for the editing and putting it on the website. But it is on our website. You can go and listen to it again. So he says in verse 12, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. So I want you to think of some things, and so you can hold me accountable now to what he says. Because why is Peter saying, I will not be negligent? Well, because he is saying, I will be diligent. Those are, in some ways, they're opposites. If you're not diligent in the truth, if you're not diligent, that means day by day by day, you walk in the truth. You do the truth, you speak the truth, you live the truth. You're diligent in it. If not, you will start to be negligent about the truth. You will start to be negligent about what matters, what really matters in life. So in some ways, these are opposites. So he says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter is saying, I will remind you over and over and over of these same things. Now, there's so many people today who get offended so easily when you start to tell them what to do. Peter tells them what to do. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Oh, Don't judge me. I have faith in Jesus. That's all I need. Well, why is that judging you if I tell you, exhort you, the way Peter did to the listeners, to do something, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge? If you don't do it, he says, if those who lack these things in verse 9, he says, they're blind. They cannot see afar off. They have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. So he's saying there's a reason to it, not just that I want you to do it, but there's a principle from God that you should work on this, that you would grow in your Christian life. And then he says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. So therefore, I titled this today, Faithful Reminders of Truth. This is not just one truth that the minister of God, the preacher, the elder, the pastor should be reminding the flock that God has entrusted to in that place. It is not just one truth. It is, yes, this truth that he has, but it is all truth of the Scripture. And so I would be negligent if I said, all right, I won't be practical about things anymore. I won't say something that might offend someone because I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want anyone to feel bad towards me. So I will just say everything in such a way that you can make it mean whatever you want it to mean. No. To not be negligent, I need to come and tell you this is the truth. This is what you need to do. This is what the Bible says. And because God says so, you should do it. And if you don't do it, it'll happen to you exactly like the Scripture says. And in this case, he says, those that lack these things, they don't add to their faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, they will be blind. They won't see far off. They will forget that they were purged from their old sins. They will start to be miserable in their Christian life. And then he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So he puts these together. Add to your faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and love. And then he says, because if you don't, you'll be a miserable Christian. If you're a Christian, you'll be a miserable Christian. But rather, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So if you do these things, you will have joy, and God will give you peace. And you won't fall. You won't fall away, and you won't fall. God will help you, and he'll be with you. So, I will not be negligent, Peter says, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. See, that's the thing. Though you know them. No need to be offended if someone tells me what I already know for 20 years. Why? Because I need the reminder too. All of us need the reminders from God's Word. I have many times, and I think you will probably say the same, heard something and I thought, oh, I needed that today. It's like, I already knew that. I already knew that many years ago, but I needed that today. I needed someone to tell me this. I just hadn't thought of this specific thing. I needed someone to tell me this. And that's the way we should go in our Christian life, knowing that without Christ and His Word and the ministries that Christ has implemented in this world, we are nothing. Without God's way of doing things, we are nothing, we'll have nothing, and we'll lose what we have, our joy and our peace. So he says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. You already know these things. You're already established in it. And yet I will remind you again, because this is so important. That's what he's saying. Then he says, yes, I think it meet. I think it just. I think it right. I think it fitting. As long as I am in this tabernacle, in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So what is the purpose of it? To remind someone? To stir them up. When someone tells you, look, you should add to your faith virtue, it should have a good effect on you to stir you up. Yes, I need to do this. Yes, I should do this. I should add to my faith virtue. I know a few places where I could do this. And knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness. Yes, I should do this, and I want to do this, to stir you up. That's what he says. I think it meet, I think it's just and right and fitting, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. But then he says, because I know that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. We already know this, but our physical body is like a temple. It is a tabernacle for our soul, but our tabernacle will be put away, will be done one day, but our soul will continue to live. It will simply be transferred into another place. Our soul is eternal. It will not remain in a corpse. It'll go on to be with God. And if we are believers, we will be with Christ. Our soul will be with Christ forever and ever. He says, Peter says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Jesus had told Peter in John 21 that he was going to die, and he said that it would be in his old age. He said how he was going to die to an extent. And yet, here Peter says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Did he know it only because he was now old? And he said, well, Jesus said, when I'm old, I will die. I will die by persecution, by martyrdom. Or was it something more recent? I think it is more recent. He says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. How did he know now at age, I'm not even sure what age Peter had, but I didn't look it up now, but he was quite old. Some estimates are that it was about 40 years ago from here where Jesus told Peter in John 21 that how he would die. So in John 21, about 40 years before this, almost 40 years, is when Peter told, when Jesus told that to Peter. So now Peter may have been 70 or something. So how did Peter know that it wasn't at 60 where he was now old and he would die any day? How did he know now that now he was old and he was going to die any day? I think God showed him more specifically that that his time was here, in a similar way that Paul knew. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." You see, when God personally reveals to someone truths like these, he does. He does these things. And I don't think God stopped doing it. There's a lot of, even in Reformed circles, many today who would tell you right away that you're a liar. If you tell them that God revealed to me that my time is at hand, I will die soon, they would tell you you're a liar. God doesn't speak to us like that anymore. I know some who would directly tell you to your face that you're a liar. Now, I don't think that is our duty, responsibility, or that we should even do such a thing to tell someone else they're a liar because God revealed something to them, unless we know that it is against God. If someone says for an example, if a woman says that God showed to me that I should be pastor of this church, then we will tell them, no, that's a lie, because the Bible says that the woman should not pastor a church. They should not be leaders of a church. And we believe the Bible. So you're wrong. God did not reveal this to you. It's your feelings. Many times people will say something, God revealed something to me, and it'll be their feelings. But who are we to tell them that this is a lie? If God really did reveal something to them, God will prove it. God will prove it if it's true or not. Now, there are other things that I think are foolish, and I will say it, even though to the person who says it, I might tell them, well, that's not how God usually revealed something. For an example, I heard someone explain how he had seen visions from God, and the vision had been, there was a warehouse with big shelves, and there were many boxes on the shelves, and the boxes all said grace on them. It was a vision that God was showing that there was lots of grace, people just needed to go and take it. And to me, it's like, okay, what kind of vision is that? Anyone could make it up. You could make up a vision like that, and there's nothing specific to it. It could be true, it could not be true, and the Bible is true. The Bible says what God's grace is. The Bible says what God's mercy is. There's nothing specific in a vision like that. It just makes you sound holy because you had a vision from God. So I would tell people, don't listen to such foolishness, because if God revealed something to someone for a purpose, it will happen. If it's true that God revealed something to you, it will happen. There may be times, and I have had times like this, where I think God reveals something to me, but I say that I think this is what God is saying, and then I have been right and I have been wrong. But it is usually something that when God revealed something to us, it is something that we need. It is often not even something that we share with others. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is just that God puts it on our heart that we should go and talk with someone. We don't know why. Even when we do, we don't know what the outcome of it will be or what God wanted to accomplish with it, but we still do it in faith. We just simply do it because we believe God wants us to do it. And so we need to have discernment of what is truth. And that goes back to what Peter says here in 2 Peter. He says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. These things are true, though you know them and are established in the present truth. He tells them, you have the truth, you know these things, yet I will remind you. And that's what we need as believers. We need the reminders from God's word about what is truth. So when he says, I will remind you, I will put you in remembrance, this is the same thing that more writers of the New Testament did. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 5, Paul says, don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? He tells them to remember. It is not offensive to ask someone, don't you remember? Don't you remember God doing these things? God saying these things? His word saying these things? Don't you remember where we have come from? Don't you remember the things God has done among us? Don't you remember? And that's what Paul says to them. But he says about the end times, let no man deceive you. He says in 2 Thessalonians 2, in the first couple of verses, let no man deceive you. Don't you remember when I was with you? I told you these things. So he has said it. Now he is reminding them, this is what I have spoken to you. In Peter's case, he says, I also want to make sure that you remember even after I die. And what is he doing then? He writes it down. He says in verse 15, in 2 Peter 1, verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my deceased to have these things always in remembrance. Peter is saying, I'm writing it down so that even after I die, you will still be reminded of these things that are so important. And he says, though you know them. We need constant and consistent reminders about God, about Jesus Christ. Peter thought highly of those he was writing to. He said, they are established in the truth. Yet he did not just ignore them. Sometimes it is tempting to, oh, you're so much higher educated than me. You know so much more than me. I just will be quiet when I'm around you. But Peter did not ignore them. He had a shepherd's heart, and he said, I will remind you, and I will remind you constantly. And he reminded them of the things that he knew they needed to be reminded of. Sometimes I think that in God's church, coming together, assembling together, it's so easy to ignore the specific things that are in our midst, the things that we need to be reminded of. It's like, Let's just not think anything specific. Let's just read through the Bible and think about what it meant 2,000 years ago. Let's not think about today. But no, what Peter did was he reminded them because of their needs. And it is not wrong. And in fact, it would be wrong not to do it. It is right to do that even today. In Jude, the writer says, Jude verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Why would they need a reminder like that? Why do the Christian circles need a reminder to say, look, after God saved the people out of Egypt, he destroyed those that didn't believe? Well, they need this reminder because there are always in the midst of believers those who only profess but don't possess. They only profess Christ, but they don't truly have Christ. And then it is a reminder and it is a warning to everyone to check our own hearts. Like 2 Peter already said a few verses earlier, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That is, we need to look at our own lives and look at Christ and see, have we really believed? Do we trust in Jesus Christ? In Revelation 2 verse 5, Jesus speaking to the church saying, remember from where you are fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. Again, why remember? Because we're human and we tend to forget. Where have we come from? We came originally from being an unbeliever. In Ephesians, it says that we by nature were dead in trespasses and sin. Remember, you were dead in trespasses and sin. Are you alive in Christ now? How do you live and how should you live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ? And then he says, Peter says, as long as I am in this tabernacle. He could have said, as long as I have this body of flesh. But no, he said, as long as I am in this tabernacle. He says it in such a way where he's connecting what God has already been showing them in the Old Testament tabernacle when they were traveling through the wilderness. The tabernacle, the temple of Solomon, already pointing to the tabernacle of the New Testament, God's children, where God's Spirit dwells. He was using this language and reminding those who knew the Old Testament about what they are. God's presence is with you. And when you are his child, he lives in you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Tabernacle, where the soul dwells for a time, and also God's Spirit. The soul and God's Spirit for believers. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, Paul says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The tabernacle is also a sign of being temporary. Our body is temporary, but that which lives in our body is eternal. So if we're believers and we die, the house of our soul will change to be God's house, to be with God. Also, think of it according to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, where he said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our tabernacle, the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we have of God. We are not our own. We are purchased with the blood of Christ. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. We should live in such a way that it's clear that we belong to God. And then verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, as Christ has showed me. I wanted to read John 21, verse 18 and 19, what Jesus said to Peter. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he said, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken unto this, he said unto him, follow me. So Peter heard what Jesus said, and yet when Jesus said, follow me, he continued following him. He was not offended by Jesus telling him the truth. He was not offended by Jesus telling him that he would die a horrible death. And then he says in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. He wrote them down. It is a lesson and a reminder to us that it is good many times to write things down. Even though we don't write more scripture that 500 years from now or 1,000 years from now, people will be reading scripture that we write. If they read what we write is irrelevant, really, but it may be needed for our church, for our brothers and sisters in the church, to remind them of something that is that God has given us, something in the scripture, or even those around us, those who are not yet in the faith. Like gospel tracts are good to give to the lost or those who think they're saved but don't know that they're saved. But to have something in writing that reminds someone, they can read it over and over again. It is good to be reminded. So having said that, I think the principles we see from this passage should come to and apply where we are at today as well, where we are now. First of all, personally, I spoke about it a little bit, but do you know that you have passed from death to life? And if so, then remember it. Remember it because your life should reflect it. In what ways does your life reflect it? It will give you joy to think of the change that God has brought about in your life from when you were dead in sin till now, after you were alive in Christ and God has grown you in whatever ways that He has grown you. But remember this. Remember that Jesus walked on this earth, and the purpose for coming to this earth was to come to die. The purpose for Jesus to come to this earth was to come to die for His people. He said that He came to lay down His life for the sheep. That was the purpose for Him coming to this earth. Remember that Adam and Eve sinned before this. Sin did not exist before Satan and Adam and Eve. Sin did not exist in this world. And then sin came into this world. And the Bible says that now all have been born in sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one who can come to God and say, God, I did so little bad, my good far outweighs my bad. Or my good, at least a little bit, outweighs my bad. No, the moment we sin, we should be eternally separated from God. That would be the right thing for God to do. It would be the just thing to do. But God being just, He is just, He also made a way to still be just, have our sins be paid for, and then reconcile us back to Himself. So remember, even though all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there is one way to eternal life, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for sinners, and that those who repent and turn to Him, call on His name, trust in Him, will be saved, and will be saved eternally, will be saved forever and ever. remember our sin, remember our Savior, and remember our new life. The Bible says we have passed from death to life. Has that happened in your life? Is your life a new life? Do you know Jesus, and does Jesus know you? Then remember, it is not... See, there's a common theology that is a bad theology that says that whenever you doubt if God loves you or if you're saved or what state you're in today, just think about the time that you made that decision. Just make sure you make this decision and keep that in your mind and remember this decision. Well, that's bad theology because, yes, you may remember where you have gotten saved. That's not a bad thing. But what you should remember is you were dead, but now you're alive. You're now alive to the things of God. You want to hear the things of God. You like to hear the things of God. You want more of the things of God. Not always. You still have your flesh with you. But you do want it now. Because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So remember that you were dead in sin, but if you're changed, you are now alive in Christ. Just to remember what you did one day is no assurance of your salvation. But to remember what Christ is doing in your life, what He has done and what He is doing, will give you assurance if you are His child. So, Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And by God's grace, we will do the same because God wants us to grow. God doesn't want us to just remain in one place, have no effect in this world, just be like dead men walking, like dead sheep. No, God wants us to be alive. God wants us to know Him, and God wants us to tell others about Him. And by His grace, we will continue to do that and pray that He will bless our feeble efforts, because by ourselves, we won't make anything. We won't get anything. And there'll be no results. But by ourselves, it doesn't matter if we recognize results or not, but if we do it in faith, we do it faithfully, what God wants us to do, then He will bless it. He will bring a harvest. He will save souls through the faithful proclamation of His word and His truth. And we want to be faithful in the place that God has placed us to do His will faithfully, consistently, not just once, but till the end of life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Your word is truth. If there's anything unclear or misleading or hard to understand from what I said today, I pray that You would clear it up. I pray that You would correct what is wrong, that You would bless what is right, the truth of Your word, and that You would grow us individually and together, and also grow this church. Lord, as we have prayed before, we desire a place where we could gather more consistently. That'll be a little more fitting for an assembly, but Lord, we're thankful for this place that You've provided, that we can meet here now. We just pray that Your will be done, that You would guide us and lead us in Your way. Help us to be content. Help us to be faithful. Help us to trust You in all things. Bless each one who's here today. Guide us in Your truth. Help us to proclaim Your word, Your gospel. Be with us this week, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and your dismay.